follow along on the screen. From Psalm 80. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel. You who lead Joseph like a flock, awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. The root of your right hand is planted. The son you have raised up for yourself. Revive us.
Advent means? Tell me, what does advent mean?
Coming
or arrival. You look forward to the coming of a Savior that God is going to send to us, as he said way back in Genesis 3:15. It's the first hint of a Savior that was going to come. I'd like to just welcome everybody that's here today. Welcomes to Vicki and Sydney. Don't have to stand up, raise your hand, or anything like that. Just welcome you coming to Harbor of Joy today. And I get to light the first candle. There are four candles that are lit prior to Christmas. Okay, wrong one. And you see there's three blue or purple candles and one pink one. If they're purple, it'd be for the Minnesota Vikings. But these are for blue or purple, represent royalty. And the coming of a Savior. The color means the supremacy of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Advent is an expectation and a welcoming of our King as we are in the season of Advent. The church calendar is different than the other calendar that we normally go by. But this is the beginning of the church year, this first Sunday of Advent. And after Advent comes Epiphany. I never knew what Epiphany was till just about 15 years ago. I realized what it was. And after Epiphany, what comes after Epiphany? In the church calendar, then it comes Lent. And how, then Lent, you have Easter, and but today, I just want you to know that the first candle also represents hope. It is a candle of hope, candle of prophecy. A Savior was proclaimed by God that was going to come one day. And we can feel very fortunate, very blessed to know that the one who was promised has come almost 2,000 years ago as a baby. His name is Jesus. And we know what he's done for us, what he gave his life for us, that we would know that our sins are forgiven, that we'd have a new life that he gives to us, that we can know and experience today. So we trust and hope that you are experiencing that new life in Christ each and every day as well. Just some announcements this morning that I want to share with you is that the Experiencing God Bible Study, Angie, you're here. I don't have to text you today. We are going to meet tonight at 6:30 because nobody went anywhere for Thanksgiving. Pretty much we kind of hung around. Or if you had somebody over, they're probably gone after today. So we will meet tonight at 6:30. For those of you that are wanting to be a part of Experiencing God, I think we're on unit number 9 tonight. There's 12 units, and so we're on number 9 tonight. There's no confirmation class today after church. I don't know why I did that, but I just figured give everybody time off, and that's okay as well. This week will be just a normal week as far as some of the things that are being planned, starting on Tuesday with a prayer group at 10 o'clock that meets here at the church. And we got confirmation, junior high confirmation on Wednesday, and Joy Us Kids at 3:30, and Joyful from 5:30 to 6:30. Lunch with the Bunch is a study of the book of Revelation. That's from noon till 1. You can bring a little lunch if you like, or eat afterwards. Or eat before you come. Either way, it's fine. And I think we are on chapter 10. Yeah, 10. There we go. Chapter 10 in the book of Revelation. And then Saturday, the first Saturday of every month is a men's breakfast at Perkins here in Milford. So if you'd like to be a part of that, come at 7:30 this coming Saturday for men's breakfast. Good food, good fellowship. You never know who's going to be there. But if you're there, that's all that matters. So we're glad that you can be wondering about that. The rest you can read in your bulletin this morning, other things that are in there. And just thinking of, you know, Christmas is coming, It's a different kind of a Thanksgiving. We don't know what this Christmas is going to bring, but we do know that there's going to be some people, or some who may even be here today, that loved ones that you knew of this past year that will not be around this year. And it doesn't have to be because of COVID-19, but it can be because of cancer, it can be because of an accident, it can be of just something unexpected that has taken place. It could be a car accident of some sort or some farm accident. You know, our hearts just go out to you if that's someone, if you're one of those people that will be reminded of this coming Christmas. No, it'll be a difficult Christmas because of that. But our hearts are with you. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ understands, and he will be there with you, and just draw close to him during these times to receive his comfort that he would give to you, and he's always there for us. So with that, I'm just going to turn it over to the praise band here this morning as we sing another song called Our God.
Thank you.
great songs come and hear. Sometimes I don't even want to sing. I just want to listen and read the words. I forgot to mention, those of you that helped to decorate inside of the church and put the nativity scene outside of the church, I just want to thank you on behalf of the entire church for doing these kinds of things. Really appreciate it. And it gives that little bit of Christmassy feeling. Thank you very much for that. Our sponsor reading today is from Psalm 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you.
For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you.
Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him.
You come to the help of those who have done you right.
No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins.
Yet, Lord, you are our Father. You are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands.
Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people.
Thank you.
band and be seated. As they are seated, I'm reminded of that first song we sang this morning. Everything that has breath. Reminds me of an elderly lady I once knew many, many years ago who had emphysema. And she would always have difficulty breathing, but she was just a wonderful, godly lady. And she would be very positive on everything that was happening. She says, "I'm just glad I can breathe." And then she'd get her inhaler. But I never forgot her. Her name was Dot. Called her Dot. Of course, her name was really Dorothy, but I never knew that. It was always Dot. And she was just a wonderful lady. And she was in her 90s, I believe, at the time. She's in heaven now. But I do want to invite you to turn, if you brought your Bibles with you. If not, I believe it's up on the screen. It'll be Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is going to be our springboard passage every Sunday from now until the Sunday before Easter. And so I invite you to stand as we hear. You're able to stand. You don't want to stand. You don't have to stand either. But we stand out of respect for God's Word. And it says this in Luke. "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Heavenly Father, we thank you for Luke's account that we are going to have before us, not only today, but in the weeks ahead, and that you would use what Luke wrote in a way that would speak to our hearts today. Like I mentioned with the praise band earlier today, that oftentimes we have heard the Christmas story so many times that we kind of just go like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, heard it all before. I know everything." Lord, we pray that that will not be the case today, but that there's always new things that we can learn from your word and about this true event that took place. It's historical, as Luke will give an account of here. And so may you use each message, including the one today, to those of us who need to be reminded again, to be refreshed in our minds of all that took place for our benefit today. And every day, you came, you left heaven to become one of us. And we did not know you, we did not recognize you, we wouldn't have if you had not revealed yourself to us through prophets, through your word, and through your church of who Jesus Christ is. And so one of the proofs, Lord, of your coming is right here, a church. Churches that we see about, they give evidence that you truly did come. You died and you rose again. And you've got good things to say to us that will last for all eternity. Bless those that can hear, those that will be watching on Zoom, whoever hears. May they just say, "Lord, thank you for the love that you have for me." We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to do something a little different The approach will be different today than maybe something you had before, but we're going to do a little interview today with our first eyewitness. And when we ask this eyewitness to speak, I'll put this on, so that you know that I'm in character then of this person. Who is this person? How did you know? It was up there, it's in your bulletin. Yeah, the angel Gabriel. So I just want to tell you a little bit about Luke, the writer of this gospel. Did you know that he is a doctor by trade? He's a doctor. He's not one of the 12 disciples. He is somebody outside of the 12 who has heard a lot about Jesus, and he himself was not going to just take the hearsay from what he's heard from others about Jesus, but he was going to investigate who this Jesus Christ is. And so he would go and visit people who were eyewitnesses or who knew closest to what was taking place in the life of Jesus Christ. And in his investigation, he kept hearing about an angel. An angel kept showing up in the story, in the accounts that people who knew Jesus and believed in him talked about and say, this is how it all started. And so it is Gabriel. We only know of two names of angels in the scriptures. The other one is Michael. You hear about him more in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's Gabriel. They're archangels. That means they're kind of God's right-hand angels. They have a special purpose, a special place. They are special messengers. Michael is kind of sometimes God uses as an angel that will bring judgment. Gabriel is one that brings the good news. And we're going to hear about him real shortly. One of the other things about Luke is that as being a doctor, what do doctors like to do? They like to ask questions. And they like to get very thorough. And when they get their data or data together, after the questions they've asked you, they then come up with a conclusion. And we find that in the Gospel of Luke. This is Dr. Luke's conclusion of what he found out, what he learned in his investigation about Jesus Christ. And so we are thankful to the Lord that we have the Gospel of Luke. And Luke also wrote another book in the New Testament. You know what book that is? The book of Acts. So this guy is very important that God has used in bringing us not only how it all began, but then what happened after Jesus ascended into heaven, and that's where the book of Acts comes in. The early church, what did it do after Jesus went up to heaven? And we have that in the book of Acts. If you've ever read the book of Acts, you get to the end and you go like, it seems like the book should still go on. Well, it is. It does. With us. Almost 2,000 years later. We are an extension of the church, of the early believers, what we read in the book of Acts, even up to today. And so, as we interview Gabriel today, I hope that you will come to understand that this is a historical event that actually did happen. This is true. Of course, I use a little bit of my imagination in here as I do this, but that's just to keep you awake. Okay. So the first question that we'd like to ask Gabriel today is, you know, how did this Christmas story, this Christmas event, how did it all come about? Well, you have to realize that I've been around for a long time. God the Father always told us that he was going to send us a Savior, even way back in Adam and Eve's day. back in the fall when sin came into the world, he promised a Savior would come. But on this particular day, there was more activity in heaven than usual. The angelic tabernacle choir practiced some new songs that spoke about a baby, about shepherds, a town called Bethlehem, and peace on earth. It was an amazing, amazing choir to hear if you could. And then when you did, it was just, the songs were great. And so whenever the choir practices this much, everyone in heaven knows that something special is going to happen. You know, when Bob, when you used to do the choir, you'd have a lot of practices, right? Okay. You'd have a lot of practices, right? Yeah. And so we kind of knew as a church that something special is going to happen, especially in the fall or around Christmas time, there would be a choir program, which we won't have this year. Okay. Back to Gabriel. So something big was about to take place. And it wasn't long before God the Father called me to go on a special assignment. I was to go undercover and not reveal my true identity until the proper time. And this was really an exciting time for me. Well, Gabriel, what in the world did you see first then when you went on this special assignment? I saw a priest by the name of Zechariah. I waited until he was in the Holy of Holies in the temple, because it was the only time that I could get him alone and talk to him. He was burning incense and praying because he and his wife did not have any children. His wife's name was Elizabeth. And so I made myself known to him while he was in the most holy of holy places in the temple. You should have seen the look on his face. You would have thought he never saw an angel before. So what did you say to Gabriel? First, I told him not to be afraid. Then I told him that he was going to be a dad. Can you imagine? And of course, he was an old guy. Not quite as old as probably Abraham. But God can do anything. But I got to tell him that he was going to be a dad. And he remained speechless until the day his son was born. I guess that news was a little bit too much for him. Now, if you remember, Zechariah and Elizabeth gave birth, their son that was born to them was who? Yeah, John the Baptist. And so John then is about 6 months older than Jesus. Because Jesus comes a little bit later. We'll find more about that as we go here. Now, all that I'm telling you here, you can read about in Luke, the first chapter. Or you can also, Matthew in the first chapter. So we'll also talk about the coming of Jesus as a baby. But we only have two accounts in the whole Bible, of Matthew and in Luke, that give us some of the details of Jesus, his birth. So what did you do next, Gabriel? What did you see next? God the Father sent me to a little town in Galilee, a town that is called Nazareth. It was there that I was to find a young woman who was very much in love and engaged to be married. Do you know how many teenagers there are like that? But God directed me to one young lady by the name of Mary. I gave her this message. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now she received my message better than Zechariah did. But the look on her face told me that I better say something pretty quick. I said, Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. And when she heard me telling her not to be afraid, it seemed to calm her down a little bit. Then I told her that she was going to be with child and that she is to name her baby Jesus. It would be a boy. You didn't have to go to the doctor to find out what you're going to have. She knew it was going to be a boy. And his kingdom will be not like any other kingdom that there's been on this earth, because his kingdom was going to last forever. She didn't understand at first how this could be possible, since she was a virgin. But I explained to her that her relative Elizabeth was with child for about 5 months, close to six. And it is then when Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. What a young girl full of faith. Faith she had. Well, that leaves me then to ask another question to Gabriel. What about her boyfriend? What about the one that she was going to marry, her future husband? Now that was a real challenge. Joseph was his name, a hard-working carpenter. He was always busy with some project. The best time to talk to Joseph was when he was sleeping. I had to tell him about his fiance, Mary, before he heard some of these things from someone else, because that would be a disaster. I waited until he went to sleep and I spoke to him in a dream. I never had to worry about frightening anybody when they were sleeping, and I came to them in a dream. But I had to calm Joseph's fears over what was about to happen in his life. I said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, if that kind of news didn't wake him up, nothing will. Joseph handled this difficult situation in the purest sense of love and commitment to Mary. It is no wonder that my Heavenly Father chose him from all the others. Well, tell me, Gabriel, was your mission only to give birth announcements and to go around scaring people? Well, there were the shepherds. Oh, I guess I scared them too. But when Jesus was born, I had to tell someone, this is the greatest news ever. A Savior has been born in Bethlehem. Praise the Lord. So I got special permission to tell all the other angels in heaven about Jesus' birth. And they all appeared and sang praises to the shepherds. The shepherds will never, ever forget that night. One last question, Gabriel. Why did God go through all this trouble and time in working with us humans? That's an easy peasy answer to that question. It was the only way to save you from your sins. We still rejoice when a sinner repents and comes to know Jesus as his or her personal Savior. Gabriel's mission and his role was to prepare the coming of a Savior. He was to proclaim what God was up to and what God wanted the people to hear. And he also was used in a way of protecting Jesus, because he also came to Joseph during the night and told him to go to Egypt because something bad is going to happen. And so that he and Mary and baby Jesus need to go to Egypt to stay away from that event. That's who we'll hear about next week. You know who that guy is? That's right. Herod. Herod the Great. Learn about him next week. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, who had ever thought, and of course none of us ever would, think that you'd use an angel in the ways in which you did. In the life of a high priest by the name of Zechariah, who would only do this once in his life, to go behind the curtain in the most holy of holies, and then to be able to see an angel and have the angel speak to him and tell him that he was going to be a father. Lord, as we follow the events, it's only something that you could do. You told the prophets hundreds of years earlier about this event that would take place in Bethlehem. So Lord, today, none of us here can say we have not heard that Jesus, whose name means Savior, came to us. Just like we came into the world, so did Jesus. But there were some things that were completely remarkable. He was sinless. He was a perfect child. And his mother was a virgin. And so it was the Immaculate Conception, something that only God could do for our sake. Because he saw that the world was dark because of sin. So he brought into the world a light in the darkness. And when it's dark, the light looks pretty good. It shines pretty bright. Lord, I pray that everyone who hears this message today will see the light that Jesus came for him and for her. Maybe we've wandered away from you this past year, Lord. Maybe we've been taken up in all kinds of fear. Maybe things haven't always gone the way we thought or hoped they would go. But we can also be certain that Jesus came for me and you, to change our lives from the inside out, and to be able to live for him, because he empowers us through His Holy Spirit who lives in us, that we may live for Him each and every day. So Lord, whatever You have shown and revealed to someone today, may they know that they are loved by You, that You came for them, and that You've offered a way to be forgiven and to give us that wonderful, precious gift called eternal life. Eternal life is not something we have to wait for. It's something we receive today and we have with us in the present as well as in the future. Thank You for Jesus being this gift. May we all receive Him by faith and trust in Him each and every day, even today. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name.
Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit
and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Receive the benediction today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Do you want to stand?
Or just yes, sit? That'd be good.
Remain standing.